Turn that again. Well, it is good to be here. It's always a privilege to come down and spend some time here at Home Baptist Church. And we're going to look in Song of Solomon this morning. Song of Solomon chapter 2. I think it'll, those of you that are here for the devotion time, and I think you'll see how these thoughts kind of go together, but Lord leads His people, and He leads in the services of the Lord's church. He leads in them so many times. So many times He'll lead the song leader, you know, to line up with the message, or the Sunday school to line up with the message, or the devotion to line up with the message. He does that. And if we're paying attention, we'll see that these things aren't just accidents, but God's working. And so we need to be paying attention to what He's doing. But got a couple messages today concerned with church unity. This afternoon, this evening, if you'd come back, we're going to look at the idea of something to behold and how that unity is something to behold, to consider. And this morning, we're going to look at some things that need to be taken care of in all churches, in all relationships, really. There are some things that need to be taken care of. And if we don't take care of those issues, those little things, they can become big problems. And so we're gonna look here in Song of Solomon, chapter 2 and verse 15. Well, we'll read verse 14. Obviously, this is a dialogue with Solomon and the Shunammite bride here, and picturing Christ and His relationship with the church, and so this is all about a relationship. It's all about it's all a song of love and relationship. It's all about communication, and there are some things that can get in the way of that are going to spoil our relationships. And so, Song of Solomon, chapter 2, and verse 14, it says, "O my dove, that are in the cleft of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Take us the foxes, the little foxes, that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes." And let's look once again to the Lord in word of prayer. Father, we thank You once again for Your word, and Lord, we thank You for Home Baptist Church, and Lord, we thank You for the salvation that You've wrought in here over the years, and the church You've raised up here and caused to continue here for many years. Lord, pray You continue to bless, Lord, and just give each one, each member here, the things they need. Thank You for the visitors that You brought in today. Pray that You'd work in their hearts and give them the things that they need. And Father, that You'd just give us all what we need today. Lord, we all come needing to hear from You, and we pray that You would give us the things that we need today. We ask for Your help in Jesus' name. Amen. So the thought we want to, there's some, obviously, this is all applications we can make in this verse 15. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. And you can make an application to this to basically any relationship that you have. In any relationship, there are some little things, some little foxes that are threatening to spoil that line of communication, that line of blessings, to spoil that vine and ruin the fruit that would come if the vine gets spoiled before that time that fruit can come. But we're going to make our major application is going to be to the church and to church relationships and to church fellowship and to church unity. And we're going to make that application. So, little foxes that spoil churches. And that's the thing we want to, the subject we're going to consider today. In Song of Solomon, we have a wonderful dialogue between Christ and His bride. It is all about communication and fellowship and love. In our text, there is instruction to take care of the things that spoil the fellowship and love between Christ and the church. There is personal application for this verse between individuals and Christ. But since the bride of Christ is the church, the most fitting application is the relationship of Christ to individual churches. And there are little things that happen in churches that spoil its relationship with Christ and fruitfulness toward Christ. So like the attitude on the inside of an individual affects their outward relationships to other people, what happens within the church between its members affects its relationship to other people and with Christ. You know, so a church is a body. If the body's not getting along, that's a problem. That's a big problem. You know, if you've got, you know, we all live in a body, and, you know, when one part of your body's acting up, it's hard on the rest of the, on all the body, isn't it? And so every member of the body has an important part, and it all needs to be working together, and there needs to be unity. And if there isn't unity, that's a big problem. And so most of the time, it's little things that we let go. Little things, little issues, little problems, little things that, oh, I just don't like that, or I just can't deal with that, or oh. And we just don't deal with those little things, and we let those little things get to us and cause big problems. And so we need to take those little foxes. Take those little foxes. So number one then, deal with the foxes. I mean, that's basically what he's talking about here. Take us the foxes. Deal with them. Don't let those things go. Don't let them get away with what they're doing. Take us the foxes. We need to take them. We need to deal with them. Deal with the issues. Deal with the problems. Get those things taken care of. Get those things resolved. If you don't, it's going to be a big problem. It gets worse and worse and worse. And so deal with the foxes. Foxes are anything that steals and ruins the productivity and fruitfulness of a church. The thing about foxes is they do their best to go unnoticed. They most often operate at night when people are sleeping, you know. Foxes, I mean, obviously their reputation is being sly and crafty, and, you know, they're kind of hard to catch, and, you know, they're a crafty little thing. And so we've got to be more subtle. We've got to be more crafty. We've got to be careful. Hey, I'm going to be paying attention to get this little fox before it causes a bunch of trouble in my life and the lives around me. One thing that a fox obviously does most of the time, I mean, I spent a lot of time in the woods in my life, you know, running around in the woods. And I've never seen a fox when I was walking through the woods, you know. The only time you ever see a fox, a lot of driving down the road, you might see one in a field or in the ditch. But they're smart. I mean, if you're walking through the woods, they know you're coming a long way away. And they're just, you know, they're very slippery. They're very sly. But they like to hide, you know. They hide during the daytime. You know, you're not going to find them. You know, they're hiding somewhere. They're under a brush pile. They're under some logs. But they're hiding. They're out of your sight most of the time. So we've got to be really good at finding their hiding places. And these kind of foxes are the kind that hide in our hearts. That's their favorite hiding place. We've got these little foxes that hide in our hearts. And they like to cause problems in our lives and the lives around us. But we've got to be careful and looking out for those foxes in their hiding place in our hearts. The worst sort of foxes that do the worst damage to churches are the ones that we bring with us in our own hearts. You know, we're looking around at other people when the problem is in our own heart. You know, you notice that? You have a problem with somebody else and you can't seem to work it out. Most of the time it's in your own heart. If you get your own heart right, then you'd forgive them. You'd get over it. You'd move on. You know, you'd overlook it. But we've got a problem in our own heart, don't we? And we're always looking at the other one. They're the problem. I'm the problem. It's my heart. If I'd get my heart right, it takes two people to have a problem with one another, doesn't it? If I get my heart right, that's going to fix it. You know, that's going to at least fix my part of it. And then they've got to deal with that with the Lord himself. But most of the time, it's in our own heart. And if one person will get right and humble themselves and say, I'm sorry, it'll have a good effect on the other person. And so we've got to take those foxes. But they like to hide in their hearts. Certainly many churches have been robbed by these sorts of little foxes. They've spoiled fellowship, unity, love, fruitfulness. That's what foxes do. They spoil those tender grapes. And if we do not take them, we stand to lose not only our harvest of tender grapes, but also our whole vineyard. I mean, that can ruin a church. Little foxes left, you know, relationships not right in the church. Churches split. You know, people leave. Relationships is a lot of times the issue. that harms churches more than anything is relationships. So we can't deal with them, can't get over them, can't move on, can't forgive, you know. And so those are them little foxes that we got to take. It's imperative that we take these foxes in our hearts and do away with them before they spoil us and the church we're a member of. So notice it says take us the foxes. You know, we need to deal with the foxes. And it says the little foxes. The little foxes. The devil doesn't care if he uses big obvious problems or little ones that go unnoticed. He doesn't care, you know. He doesn't care if he uses a bunch of little problems to tear up a church. He doesn't care. You know, he might use one great big one, or he might use a whole bunch of little ones. And we can't overlook the little ones. Don't overlook those little foxes. You might think, oh, well, that's not a big deal. You know, that little problem I have with so-and-so, that's not a big deal. Yes, it is a big deal. That's a little fox that if you leave it there, it's going to ruin your relationship with that individual. And then that's going to have a tendency to spread to others. And there's going to kind of be a, you know, kind of a siding, you know. I'm with so-and-so and I'm with so-and-so. And we've got to take the foxes. We've got to take those little foxes, lest they spoil the vine. But the devil doesn't care if he uses big obvious problems or little ones that go unnoticed to ruin a church. He just cares about ruining the church. And a few little foxes will get the job done just as well as one big problem. You know, our the things that we wouldn't let go. You know, we talked about that this morning. We love truth. I mean, I'm glad that we do, and I'm glad that you do. And I hope that you tenaciously love truth. And there isn't anything that would tear you away from the Word of God or convince you otherwise. I hope that you love truth. But there are things that we would never let go. You know, heresy, false prophets, false Bible versions, false churches. You know, these are like elephants tearing up our vineyard. These Baptists won't allow and take great care to keep out of the church. But the little foxes that perhaps ruin more Baptist churches, even than false doctrine, are our inability to biblically communicate and work out our differences. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about our relationships. And relationships are a big deal with God. We need to get our relationships right with people. If we don't have our relationship right with people, then we're not right with God. We've got to get our relationships right with people if our worship's going to be acceptable to God. It's important that we communicate and biblically communicate and work out our differences. So things go unsaid that should be said, and things go undone that should be done. And the little foxes grow into great big problems. Let's look in Matthew 18 for a minute. You know, as a pastor, and you know, I'm sure Brother Dan can tell you this too. As a pastor, people love to come to the pastor and say, so-and-so's doing this, you got to take care of it. And that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says in Matthew 18 that if your brother offends you, then you need to go deal with that privately. That's the first step. Now, the first thing you need to do is you need to go get that thing right. And you need to go make it right. Matthew 18 there. And you need to read Matthew 18. And you need to know what backwards and forwards. You need to know these verses about how to handle problems in the church. But Matthew 18 in verse 15, it says, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell pastor." That's not at all what it says, is it? It says, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone." We're not very good at doing that, are we? We like to tell everybody in the world but the one that's offended us. We like to tell everybody about how we've been wronged and so-and-so wronged us, but we won't get that thing right. We're not brave enough to go face so-and-so and say, "Hey, you know, this is an issue. We've got to deal with this." We want to go tell everybody in the world except for the one who needs to be told. And you know what? It isn't just to fix them either. It's to fix us. We both have a problem with our relationship, and two people have got to get it right. And so part of the reason that you're supposed to go talk to them and not give it to pastor is because you've got a heart problem too. And you need healing, and you need forgiveness, and you need to say, "I'm sorry," and you need to communicate, and you need to work it out. Pastor can't get your heart right with that person. You've got to get your heart right with that person. And so don't be running to pastor. You got to deal with that thing yourself. You take that fox. You take that issue. You deal with that thing. And obviously, what does that mean? We've got to be humble people, don't we? Because when somebody comes to us and says, "Hey, You know, you've been doing this, and maybe we didn't know we were doing that. And the first thing we're going to want to do is say, well, who are you to tell me what to do? You know, that's pride. We've got to be humble people to be rebuked when we're wrong. And we've got to be a humble enough people to say, you know, to go up to, you know, and talk to each other in a loving way, you know, and not a mean way, and not a, you know, a harsh way. We've got to be able to communicate. And this works in all relationships. But moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. That's the first step, you know. And I always say, I'll just go ahead and read it. The next step is, but if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. Okay, so I've tried, Pastor, and they didn't listen. Will you go with me? Sure. Then Pastor will say, yeah, I'll go with you. You've tried, you've done it the Bible way. I'll go with you and we'll talk to them together, you know. But first, you need to deal with it. And a lot of times what happens is people come and they'll talk to you and say, hey, you need to talk to so-and-so. I said, have you talked to so-and-so? No. Well, then go talk to so-and-so. You know what? They never do, and they never come back. They don't deal with it. They don't deal with it. People aren't brave enough to go deal with it. But that's a problem. We've got to deal with those issues, those little foxes. But communication is huge. Luke chapter 17. Luke 17, and so we've got to be able to, you know, we've got to be able to hear it when somebody says you're wrong, and the Bible says this is why the Bible says you're wrong, and then we've got to be, you know, we've also got to be able to say I'm sorry, you know, and we've got to be humble, have a humble, loving attitude in all of that. We've got to communicate. But Luke 17, we need to be a people that can communicate and not harbor bitterness and not hold things against each other, but communicate. Luke 17 and verse 3. It says, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother shall trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he shall trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, and saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. We never, ever, ever have a time. There's never a limit on forgiveness. There's never a time when we run out of forgiveness. There's never a time when we're justified to hold a grudge or to hold bitterness or to not get over it. Never, ever. In any relationship, especially in the church, there's zero room for holding grudges. You know, you got to get over it. You got to get over it. You got to say I'm sorry. You got to communicate, and that's what it's all about. And so those are some foxes. We got to take those foxes, and the way to take them as many times is communication. Identifying our little foxes. There are different kinds of foxes. Being able to identify them will help us to take them. You know, there's around here, there's red fox and there's gray fox, you know, and they kind of have different habits. And if you know them, you can take them. You know, if you know them, you know where they're at, you know their habits, you can deal with them. But we need to be able to identify some of these foxes. But one of the most common and damaging foxes that can get into our churches is true judgment. True judgment. Now, what do I mean by true judgment? I don't mean by that which is biblically correct. I mean that in my heart, I actually feel this way about this person. And I actually know that I'm right. And I know that they're wrong. and I really do feel like this about them. And I really feel this harsh way about them. And I really have a hard time with this person. Because this is how I really feel about them. True judgment. It's a condition of our heart that we need to be careful about. But true judgment against other church members, their flaws and failures. There's more than, you know, many times there's more, many hearts in the church that are eaten up with judging other people's faults and failures. We need to be careful when we come to church and we're hearing the preaching of the word that we're not sitting there listening to the message, looking over at so-and-so going, they need to hear that. We need to be paying attention to what we need to hear, and focusing on what I need to hear, not always looking around. Boy, they need to hear that. They sure, I hope they're listening over there. And they're like, oh man, so-and-so should have been here today to hear that. Aren't we like that? Because we're pretty sure they need that. You know, but we need to be careful. We need to be careful because that can have the wrong. Remember we talked about that in Sunday school about having that right heart attitude and loving people. And the end of the charity is, or the end of the law is charity. out of that pure heart, you know, and we need to have a love for people, and we need to, the reason that we, you know, we're concerned for people. There's a difference between concerned and condemning. You know, there's a difference, and that you know, it's good to be able to like a doctor would examine a problem and say, hey, can I help you with this? You know. But there's a difference between, oh, this is, that just disgusts me. I can't believe you can do that, you know. And there's a different attitude, you know. And we need to be careful about that harsh kind of judgment that finds the faults and failures in other people. Some have such a problem with this that they have great difficulty keeping it to themselves, you know. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew 12 and verse 34. It says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. You know, but out of the abundance of the heart. That's why people can't keep their mouth shut sometimes. It's because their heart's so full of it that they got to say it. And then when they say it, you know, it's said. You can't take it back. You know, and so we need to be careful about what's in our hearts. And the things that come out of our mouths is because that's what's been in our heart. And that's just a little bit of what's in our heart. Boy, it's good that we can't know each other's thoughts, isn't it? That wouldn't be good, would it? That wouldn't be good. We're not able to handle that like God can handle that. We couldn't handle that. But we need to be careful that it isn't so much of the wrong stuff in here that it comes spewing out of our mouth. You know, because that tells you, if it just a little bit comes out of your mouth, that tells you what, there's a whole lot of it in your heart. You know, people, there's different ways that people do that. People do it in a, you know, in a mean, condemning kind of way and just kind of, you know. And then people can do it in a joking way. And we think it's okay that if we tell it in a joke, it's just the same thing, isn't it? You just said it in a more amusing way, in a more lighthearted way, but you're still telling the truth of the judgment that's in your heart. And you just let it come out in a little joke. Yeah, there it is. And oh, so-and-so, ha, ha, ha. Yeah, well, you know what? You just told the truth about your judgment that's in your heart. That kind of thing, even if it's a joke, however you communicate it, it still has an effect, you know, of harm. We need to be careful about what we say and the judgment that we make toward other people. What's in your heart is understood by your words, but it is just as easily seen in your disapproving look. You know, you can wear your heart right on your face, you know. and you know, people are doing things that you just, oh, and you're just, you can just see that. You can read it on your face. And so, there's true judgment. It's in the heart. You're judging. You're thinking, and it's really bugging you. And, you know, but we need to be careful what we communicate, and we need to be careful what's in our heart. This true judgment is particularly hated by God because it's really good at causing divisions, discord. Proverbs 6, let's flip there just for a minute. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16. You know, God hates sin. But there are some things that he just plain points out and says, these things are just absolutely abominable to me. Proverbs 6 and verse 16, it says, these six things doth the Lord hate. And then he goes and it says, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. And then, you know, and it lists some things there. And you get down there to verse 19, it says, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. God hates that. God hates when we're sowing problems and divisions and discord and disunity in the church. He hates that. He hates that. And so that's an abominable thing to God. And so that's not a light thing. We need to be careful about sowing discord and damaging the church by our poor attitude and our harsh judgment toward one another. A second very common fox. And it generally springs up in relation to true judgment. The second kind of fox is quiet bitterness. Quiet bitterness. It's not so bold and outspoken as true judgment, but on the inside is full of contagious bitterness that spreads through others like roots unseen underground. Turn to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12 and verse 14. It says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. But that's the tendency of bitterness. It's like a root. It's generally quiet. I've been offended, and I'm going to hold a grudge, and I'm not really going to get over this thing, and it's just sitting down inside of me, and I'm just waiting for that person to make a mistake. And when they do, I'm going to be all over them. quiet bitterness. But quiet bitterness, notice roots. Roots spread underground unseen. And this is the kind that spreads by whispers. You know what so-and-so did? Can you believe that? You know, we get together at each other's house and we say, oh, can you believe what so-and-so did? You know, or we get to talking, we spread rumors, and we're secretly whispering. That's just as damaging as speaking it outwardly, you know, and being harsh in our judgment outwardly. And it's probably more damaging. That quiet bitterness, it's those roots of bitterness that spread. They spread. And then they spring up in other people, don't they? Your harsh judgment of the one, you whispered your harsh judgment to another. It went into their ear. And now it springs up in their heart, doesn't it? And then they whisper, you know what so-and-so told me about so-and-so? I can't believe that. Whispers. Those whispers. Quiet bitterness. But it spreads. But quiet bitterness is not so bold and outspoken as true judgment, but on the inside is full of contagious bitterness that spreads through others like those roots unseen and underground. These are the church whisperers, those that tell everybody but the one who needs to be told how they have been offended. Did you know that if you've been offended by a fellow church member and you don't get it right with them, that you're just as guilty of dividing the church as they are? You know, that's our responsibility. Matthew 18 is your responsibility. If your brother's offended you, you have no right to hold a grudge. What your responsibility is to go get it right. Go get it fixed. And if you're harboring bitterness, you're just as guilty as dividing the church as they are. You're just as guilty. You need to get your relationship right with them and with the Lord. Otherwise, you're just as responsible for causing division. This fox of quiet bitterness causes avoidance and unspoken divisions in the church. You know, if you got this, if you don't want to be around so and so, you know, if you're nice and polite and say hi and bye and smile and wave and can't wait to get out of their company, you may have some quiet bitterness down in your heart. I just don't ever want to talk to so and so because they really rub me the wrong way. I'm just going to avoid them. Or they've done something to me in the past and I just really haven't ever really gotten over it and I'm just going to just not really talk to them and just kind of avoid them. You know, that's bitterness. It's quiet bitterness. It's down in your heart, and that thing needs to get dealt with because your relationship isn't right with that person. If you're avoiding somebody, guess what? You're out of fellowship with them. Your relationship needs to be fixed. You need to take that little fox and get that thing right with each other. The third fox, just as common yet less malicious, is misunderstanding. I mean, it's a common fox. It's a big problem. The devil loves to take misunderstanding and make that into a big problem. You know, and again, what takes care of that? Communication. Hey, did you really mean what you said there? Or, you know, maybe I didn't hear you right about that. And you need to go and don't be afraid to go and talk to the person. Say, hey, maybe I misunderstood you. And work out misunderstandings. But this fox is very damaging to the church. Yet it is very easily taken by communication. Use care as you speak to be clear. You know, sometimes we don't have the same mannerisms, do we? Some people don't, we don't all communicate the same. And we can come off in a way that we didn't really mean to come off. And it can affect other people. They'll take it the wrong way. And they're like, oh, I can't believe that they treated me like that. Well, the other person is absolutely clueless because they didn't mean how you perceived it. And so you're holding it against them, something that isn't even, it's imagined in your own mind and heart. Communication. Deal with that thing. Deal with that thing. Talk it out. That takes care of miscommunication and misunderstanding. Another very effective fox at maintaining the damage the other foxes cause is afraid to obey. And that's that big one. That's that one we talked about. you know, where people just won't go deal with it. They always want to go tell, you know, Pastor, will you go deal with so-and-so? No. You've got to go deal with so-and-so because that'll get your heart right with so-and-so. It's your relationship. That's the first thing that needs to be mended. You've got to fix your relationship. That's why that instruction is there. Pastor's already right with so-and-so. You need to get right with so-and-so. And so, you know, that thing is, it needs to be taken care of, but afraid to obey, you know. How many of you, I'm just going to ask you this so you can think it in your heart. You don't answer me or anything. But how many of you have followed that instruction in Matthew 18? Or how many of you are guilty of going to pastor and saying, Pastor, will you deal with so-and-so? Have you went to them and talked to them in private without telling everybody else in the world about it? Have you went and talked to them and dealt with them, you see? That's the Bible's instruction. We're not very brave to do that. We're afraid to obey that. We don't want to deal with that conflict, that issue. You know, I don't want to face up to that. I want somebody else to deal with it for me. That's not going to work. That's not going to get your heart right with them. You've got to deal with that thing. But many problems linger on for years in families and churches because God's people won't do what the Bible says. Like the children of Israel, they were afraid to obey God and go into the promised land, and so they cursed themselves to wander in a wilderness of their own choosing because they don't believe God and they're afraid to obey Him. We need to just take Him at His word. His word says this is what you need to do if you have a problem with a brother or sister. Go deal with that thing. And we need to take Him at His word and trust that He'll help us and take care of that thing. The last fox is an old one. It has been hunted a lot and it is the very best at avoiding capture. Its name is pride. Pride, honestly, does not see its error. You know, that's the thing about pride. It can't see itself. It can't see that it's wrong. It has no capacity to see that I'm wrong. And it really thinks it's right. And pride is a crafty one. It is a crafty one to catch. It is an old one, and it has been hunted a lot, and it knows how to avoid capture. It knows how to avoid that conviction where thou art the man. It's really good at getting around that. Oh, yeah, yep, so-and-so, and here and there, but not me. Pride is one we've got to take. But pride honestly does not see its own error. It cannot truly be sorry. Do you know that? You can say, oh yeah, I'm sorry. But if you're full of pride and you know you're right, you're not really sorry. You're not really sorry. It's just words. And the relationship is still broken. Even though you said the words. You said, I'm sorry. So what? You still have the bitterness in your heart. You haven't forgiven. There it is. Doesn't do any good. That's pride. Pride will keep you from truly being sorry. And truly getting your relationship right. That's broken. Look in Luke chapter 18 for a minute. Luke 18 and verse 9. Luke 18 and 9. It says, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not. I thank thee that I am not. No, this doesn't apply to me. I thank thee that I am not. I thank thee that this message isn't for me. I thank thee that you preached this message because so and so needed to hear it. I thank thee that I am not. And that's what the Pharisee does. Stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. But notice, the Pharisee could not see that he had a problem. He couldn't see that he was just as bad as the publican. He couldn't see it. I thank thee that I am not. No, we need to get to the place where we're like that publican, where we're on our knees saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, because I do that, and I've done that, and I have that, and those things are in my heart, and this is what I am, and I need your forgiveness, and I need you to help me to deal with that thing. You know, you've got to take that pride. Take that pride and deal with it. Pride needs to be hunted down and taken most of all because it leads the other foxes to do their damage. You know, you take pride, you're going to take out all the other ones. You're going to take out harsh judgment. You're going to take out quiet bitterness. You're going to take out afraid to obey. All those things that pride keeps you from doing, you take out pride, you take out all the other foxes. Pride is the number one thing that we need to take care of. Pride is a vicious fox. Hates to be told it's wrong. When afraid to obey finally comes and says, and they finally get the courage to come and say, hey, you know, I got this issue and can we deal with this thing? And pride just lashes out and teaches afraid to obey a good lesson. Then don't you ever come to me like that again. Who are you? Who do you think you are? And no wonder afraid to obey doesn't want to come and talk to him because they're afraid what they're going, the lashing that they're going to get. But pride is a vicious fox and it's going to teach afraid to obey not to get out of line again. But here's the weapon. Humble apology. Humble apology is the weapon that pride has never been able to survive. You know, I'm sorry. I am sorry and I am wrong. You're absolutely right. Humble apology. Humble apology. Pride can't survive it. Learn to use humble apology. And pride and the company of damaging foxes will all be taken. Next, want to look at the next part of that verse there. Those are the foxes that we need to take care of. And the reason we need to take care of them is because they're going to spoil the vine if we don't. So that was the first thought, is we need to take the foxes. The second thought is spoiled vines can't be fruitful. Spoiled vines can't be fruitful. I mean, you know that. You've got some fruit tree or you've got some vine, you know, growing grapes at your house or something. And something comes along and, you know, a little bug comes along and chews on that vine. And then that vine gets old and withering. The sap doesn't flow to it. And there was little grapes growing, but now the little grapes are withering and they don't produce, right? You can't spoil the vine. You spoil the vine, you ruin the fruit. So the foxes spoil the effectiveness of the church. They spoil the productivity. They spoil the flow that ought to be there. The flow of God, and to other people, it comes to the church, and you know, and as we gather together, there should be a communication of God to us that is not interrupted, hindered, by relationship issues. If we got a bunch of relationship issues, then we're not getting what we ought to be and we could be from God. But spoiled vines can't be fruitful. The vines are the supply that nourishes the grapes. But it says they're going to take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. That's the channel. That's the channel that the nourishment comes. And we can't spoil that. When the vines are spoiled, they can't supply what the grapes need. The vines very well picture churches. Churches that have been spoiled by foxes and are unproductive and unfruitful. A church that is not right with itself and with its members is not right with God and should not expect to be very fruitful. And there's something that, you know, let's go to Matthew 5 just for a minute. If we don't have our relationships right, then we can't pretend to be right with God. We're not right with God. And we need to get that right with our relationships before we attempt, worship. But Matthew 5 and verse 21... it says, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. And whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First, be reconciled to thy brother and then come and offer thy gift. You see, that's the order with God. You got to get right with your relationships before your worship is acceptable. What are you going to bring to God if your heart's all isn't right, you know, and it's all full of bitterness and you don't have your relationships right? You can't worship God rightly. You got to get that thing right. First, be reconciled to thy brother and then come offer thy gifts. You know, we're just pretending. We're just pretending to worship. If our hearts aren't right in our relationships, we've got to get those things right. The vines are spoiled if our relationships aren't right. The next thing there, in the final part of that verse, take us to foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. We've got really good reason. Good reason to get right, because there are some fruit that when the church is right with God, there is some fruit and blessings that are growing and we're gonna receive the benefit of, right? I mean, there are many, many applications you could make to that. But we've got good reason to get right. For our vines have tender grapes. You know, tender communicates this idea of, you know, they're still young and they need to grow and they need to be nurtured. And if we ruin the vine, then they're not going to come to completion. We need to be careful not to ruin the vine for the sake of the tender grapes. But there are tender, delicate, precious fruits that are growing in our churches. And we should take care not to damage them. You know, visitors, new believers, especially our children. It's one thing that people leave because they don't like our doctrine. It's another thing when they leave because foxes have spoiled the vine. What a sad, sad thing. When people leave because they can sense that, you know, they can sense that the church isn't, you know, has got problems. And it's like, whew, all right, I've seen enough of that in the world. I don't want any more of that. It's not what I'm looking for. Relationships are important. But we need to do everything we can to protect our tender children from foxes in our hearts, in our homes, and in our church that cause them to be damaged, withered and cast from the vine. Young people are leaving the Lord's churches, many because of doctrine and separation, but others because of foxes that spoiled the vine. We've got to be super careful at home, don't we? Where's the little fox? Is he the most bold? Where's the little fox the most bold to talk about so-and-so? You know, oh, it's in our homes, isn't it? And we're talking, but guess what? There's tender grapes at home with us. And the things that we say about pastor or the things that we say about, another church member, guess what? The tender grapes are being affected by that, aren't they? They're hearing that, aren't they? They know the problems going on in the church, don't they? Don't think that they're missing the problems in the church. They know the problems in the church. They're hearing it, and it's affecting them. And so we've got some tender grapes, and we need to be careful that we're not spoiling them. But no one sees the foxes in our homes and church like our own children. And no one is more likely to be harmed by our unrepentant sins as our children are, because they see them daily in our homes and weekly in our church. And these things certainly should break our hearts. This would break our hearts to think that those little foxes that I didn't think much of when I was talking to my spouse at home, and I didn't think about the little ears that were listening, and I didn't think and when I wasn't getting along with so and so in the church, and you know, and we were having a problem, I forgot about the little ones that were watching. I forgot about the little ones that were looking at my example. We need to be careful. We need to be careful that our vines have tender grapes. There are things that are growing in our churches that would be great, tremendous blessings to us. But we can spoil the vine. We can ruin it for everybody. We need to be careful that we take those little foxes seriously, because they can become big problems. You know, those grapes that would have been or could have been, obviously we understand that God's sovereign and He brings things to pass, but in this application, those tender grapes can be spoiled. You know, the vines can be spoiled and it's going to harm those tender grapes. We need to be careful that we're not doing damage to those around us, to those that might be developing and growing in the Lord. And because of our bad attitude, our unreconciled relationships, our unwillingness and our pride, our unwillingness to say I'm sorry and get things right, we're harming them. We need to be careful. We've got some tender grapes that are growing up in our churches, and we need to be careful that we don't spoil that the vine, and we don't damage those tender grapes. Matthew 18 and verse 1. It says at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them, and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. I wonder, will we have to answer for some little ones that we've offended? It says it's better that we were a millstone were hanged about our neck and we're down in the depth of the sea than to offend some little one that believed in Jesus, some new believer that believed in Jesus. And some kind of problem we had, you know, harmed them. You know, our children that are coming up in our homes and the issues that we won't deal with, you know, are we harming them? It says it's better that a millstone were hanged about our neck than we should offend one of those little ones that believe in Jesus. But let's bring these things to a conclusion. May God help us to see these little foxes as big problems that must be taken and dealt with so that the effectiveness of our church and churches is not spoiled and irreparable damage done to our tender grapes. But we'll have Brother Larry come and lead in the song.
Turn to book 157.